next Brent, Unexpected and Amazing Grace of God in Christ. It's a long title, but I don't necessarily point that out in this message, but I hope that you look for the grace of God. You need to train yourself to look for the grace of God in your life. I think you may be surprised in Peter's life where he found the grace of God. You may be surprised where you see the grace of God at work in Peter's life in this passage and in what we'll discuss, Lord willing, what I bring to you next week, Lord willing, in verses 18 and 19. We're just going to look at verse 17 primarily today with a little review on verses 15 and 16. It is powerful. It's a powerful word. It's an encouraging word. I hope it'll help you to kind of figure out when things are hard in your life, what's going on. And is the grace of God at work? And I hope that you'll have hope and confidence that even when things are really hard and you don't understand it, that you are living as a Christian, you're living in the grace of God. He does love you, and He loves His glory more than you'll ever appreciate. Not yet, we won't appreciate it, but one day we will, and He will do everything He desires in order to present you holy and acceptable before Himself. Well, let's pray, and then we'll look at, I'll read a few verses for you from John 21. Father in heaven, we are needy people, whether we think we are or not, we are. And we pray that you would instruct us today through your Holy Spirit as we open your word and see your grace at work in Peter's life. Pray that you'll work in our midst, in our own hearts, and our minds, transform our minds, renew our minds, teach us to be steadfast in our and resolute in our faith, and not brag in ourselves or boast that we're anything, and search our hearts today for those areas where we do think we're something. And we may have talents and skills and abilities, but yet help us not take pride in those things, but to walk humbly before you. You who knows the heart, you know our hearts and our thoughts and our intents. Search us, O God, and try us and see if there be a wicked way in us that we would repent and turn to you and enjoy the liberty and freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Truly enjoy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. From John chapter 21, I'll read 15 through 19, even though we'll focus eventually on verse 17. 21:15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of or shepherd my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. I'm still thinking about last week's message. It had an impact in my life, both in ahead of time as I studied it, and then after hearing it, and it just keeps ringing in my ears so many things. But the first question that Jesus asked Peter, and it's the first question that he's asking you today, do you love me? Do you love me? The most important question Jesus could ask Peter. And you have to remember, this is, you could call it, you know, you see it, Jesus reinstates Peter, or I read it this way, Jesus ordained Peter, because Peter was never lost. Peter had sinned, He had fallen in the sense of he was outside of the grace of God. In that, not that he didn't lose salvation, but his own sin had drove him into the darkness. He's in a dark place, but God wasn't finished with him yet, even though he's in a dark place. And that's at this shore, the breakfast, Jesus is reminding Peter, I'm not finished with you. And it's Philippians 1:6 in Living Color. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. It's true for Peter. It's true for you. A lot of times, or maybe even right now, you find yourself in a dark place. And if you belong to Christ, you have to remember his word to Peter and remember how succinctly Paul said it in Philippians 1:6. He's not finished with you yet. Quit believing the lies that tells you that he's finished. And I'm preaching to me too. Hear the word of the Lord. He's not finished yet. He started something. He's going to finish it. And if he has to drag you kicking and screaming, he will. But don't fight him. Jesus says those most important words to Peter. And if you remember what we talked about last week, Peter didn't say, you know I love you more than those guys. Not this time. Peter learned something. I don't know how much they love him. And I'm not even going to judge it anymore. But I love you. You know that, Lord. The other thing that he said that was so important, I don't want to spend too much time on review, but Jesus told him, first, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Later he says, feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. And maybe there's a difference. Maybe there isn't. I took it that there was. I like that thought. Peter, big Peter, going to be the leader. Don't forget the young ones, the little ones, the new ones, the frail, the marginalized, the weak. Oftentimes in ministry, the temptation is, let's just go for the important people. They'll make my life easy. I'm thinking, maybe this my working through, I'm exposing. They'll make my life easy. We'll have it made. We'll have an awesome building. We'll have money. We'll have great pay. That's as fleshy as you can possibly get in the ministry, but believe me, it happens. No temptation has seized you, Jim, personally, except that which is common to man. We all like to find easy street, and Jesus is telling Peter, feed my lambs. Feed the ones that you got to get down with them and lead them and carry them and work with them and get dirty with them. The ones that take 30 years. Feed them. Take care of them. That taking care is not coddling. Doesn't mean treat them like they're invalids. Bring them up. In Ephesians 6:4, when Paul's writing to parents and he says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition, in the teaching and training, the discipline of the Lord. He's not talking about, oh, let the little ones do whatever they want. Bring them up. It doesn't mean you're harsh and hateful, but let them know, ultimately, let them know that Jesus loves them. And part of that knowing that Jesus loves them is not that everything is roses and lollipops and milkshakes and ice cream and cake and candy. Pretty soon you find you're really out of shape spiritually. But this bringing them up is a teaching. Teach them that there is time. He will discipline you and it will hurt. And it will be painful at times. But that doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you're hated. It means you're loved. Feed my lambs, Peter. I think that's what he was saying. Instruct them. Teach them what they're supposed to know. Nurture them. Be compassionate. Discipline them. Train them in what to do. It's one thing to know what you need to know, but it's another thing to know what you're supposed to do. Feed my lambs. Take time. Parents, take time with your children. Whatever stage you're in growth, you are to feed your lambs. If you're not feeding them, somebody else will. And you know what that might mean. Your little lambs are being fed all the time. But are you feeding them? They'll listen to you. They'll also listen to other influences if you don't do it. You teach them what's right. You teach them what's wrong. You teach them how to get right. And you teach them how to stay right. And it happens every single day of their lives. As long as they live in your roof, keep reminding them it's my responsibility. This is what I'm supposed to do. It's what I want to do. It's what's going to prepare you to live. And Peter's told, feed my lambs, that they'll learn how to live. Christians, little Christians, new believers, got to learn how to live because there's wolves out there. They will eat them up and devour them. If you're not preparing your children, if you're coddling your children, if you're coddling new believers to the point of just, oh, you don't have to, you know, you've got it harder than everybody. You got to get them up on their feet, because you've seen in those pictures in wild Africa or whatever, the little newborn giraffe, if it doesn't get up fast, guess what? It's somebody's dinner. And we don't think like that when it comes to our faith. If you don't get your little ones that you're responsible for up on their feet, thinking like men and women of the faith, you will watch them being devoured. Teach your babies to be men and women. Otherwise, you'll watch them be devoured, and it will grieve you. And Peter, I think there's so much behind what Jesus is telling Peter, but he's like, this is serious, Peter. But it starts with, do you love me? And shepherd my sheep, you know, that's really important. This really mattered to me, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking. And I don't mean to be a downer or anything like that, but it just eats at my heart all the time. When you're called by God to be a pastor, you're called to care for the flock. And when you're working two and three jobs, you can't. He's telling Peter, shepherd my flock, lead them. Be involved in the lives of the mature. And you know what? It doesn't always work when you're working two jobs. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, there's a burden that goes along with the calling. It's just not, hey, you get to preach on Sunday. That's awesome. That's great. The whole ministry does, for me, oftentimes revolve around the message because I'm thinking on the Word of God. But I think of you. I remember getting to visit Joanne, and we loved those visits, but I hardly get to see anymore. That hurts. I can't shepherd you right. Dave, Debbie, others. He told Peter, shepherd my flock. And it's a heavy burden. I think that there's a difficulty in being bivocational that I never thought. I used to think it was kind of a glorious thing to be a tent maker like Paul. Well, when you're working 12 and 14 hours a day, 6 and 7 days a week, and you think there's no time. I feel like I'm dropping the ball. I say this, maybe you're dropping the ball. We've got to find ways that we can carry out the work that God gives us to do. And this has really been convicting to me. It takes time to build trusting relationships. If you're going to speak into somebody's life, teach, nurture, discipline, training, those type of things, you got to, as a pastor, you got to have time to do it. And I'm not scolding you guys. I think we're doing the very best we can, but I want you to be praying because it actually hurts. Hurts me. Hurts. It takes time. It takes emotional energy. And when I'm running on empty physically and mentally and emotionally, I feel like I'm failing the Lord and failing the calling. So that's my to share with you very clearly. You know, want to have energy, but he told him, shepherd my flock, my sheep, shepherd them, take good care of them. And I think, and I ask for your forgiveness if you've been hurt by my neglect, but just know that I'm butting, I'm guessing, you know, justifying, but I'm trying not to. But join with me in that struggle and pray for me and pray for us as a congregation. Pray that other shepherds will be raised up. You know, I know there are several in this congregation that do look after others and take care of them. Keep doing that. Because as long as we, you know, it shouldn't all fall on the pastor's shoulders. You all are responsible for somebody. Look after each other. Take care of each other. You know, I think of when Paul said when he went away, he knew that wolves would come in. If I was to go away through death or circumstance, you know, would wolves come in? Be diligent in caring for the flock too. I oftentimes feel like I try to live like today's it, but I don't want to think like this is the last day, but just look after each other. So I hear the Lord's command to feed his flock, and I feel deep conflict. So I think Peter was to take this very seriously, and I've taken it very seriously, especially as I've read this passage over and over and over and over this week. And so there you go. It's not a complaint. It's just to say, let's pray, because there's so many sheep that need to be cared for that aren't even part of this flock that could be. Well, that's the end of the review, and I hope it was helpful for you. And let's move on into verse 17, and this Jesus continues his talk with Peter, and I think I changed it a little bit. Jesus continues his talk with and his commission of Peter, his ordination. He's ordaining Peter. I remember my ordination, but I don't remember the date. My mom probably remembers. Was it 2008? Was it? I don't remember the date. 2006 or 7 or 8 or something like that. 6? They asked me a whole lot of questions. A lot of questions, which they should have. But I just think Jesus has walked with Peter enough. He asked him one question, and we've talked about it before. But do you love me? Now we're told in verse 17 that the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. I don't know what kind of hurt it was, but, and I'm not even really going to speculate too much, but it got to him. It struck him. Maybe he was hurt by Jesus didn't really believe him or what, I don't know. But Peter was hurt anyway. It really distressed him. But did Jesus intend to hurt him? So that's a question. Do you think Jesus intended to hurt Peter in whatever manner Peter was hurt? I think the answer was yes. He intended to open a wound. Open a wound. But just out of maliciousness, just out of meanness? No way. There was something, in my opinion, something that was in Peter's heart that was not healing properly after his big fall. When he denied the Lord 3 times, went out, wept bitterly. Something was not healing right. It's fresh still, but it is healing. But Jesus goes in and he hits the wound. And what if that third question was intended to heal and bring Peter out of a prison that he was finding himself in, a prison of guilt, perhaps? Every time he'd look at Jesus, he's like, how can I even look at him? Look what I did to him. I can't even look at him. Have you ever done that before? You've sinned against someone and you can't even look at him. And it's not their fault, but you have shame and guilt that's still clinging to you. I don't think Jesus meant to hurt him as much. I think he meant to hurt him, but I think he intended the hurt to lead to the healing, to bring Peter out of guilt and shame into newness and renewal and a fresh walk with the Lord. Remember what Jesus told Peter in John chapter 13, verse 38. John 13:38. In 37, Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. He meant it. He meant it. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Jesus cut. There was a wound, that wound that was beginning the healing inflicted here before Peter sinned. Jesus struck a spot in Peter's heart that hurt, it wounded, but in time it will heal. It was a word that just pierced Peter's heart. It was the truth that revealed Peter's innermost man. Not at that moment, because Peter's all full of himself. I'll do it. I'll die with you. I'll go with you wherever. These guys may run away, but I never will. You will disown me 3 times. Boom, right to the heart. And Peter doesn't even know it. But it is going to, that cut will soon reveal Peter's inner man. When you find yourself cut, I want you to start thinking in terms of the Lord. When you may not even know it, but when you look back on and say, from when I know the Lord's word has cut me and it's pierced my heart, I have to know something. He is working to reveal my inner man. What you really think, what you really believe, that's where that word is going to. You may not know it at the time. Remember Hebrews 4:12? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And without even knowing, Jesus' words in John 13:38 go to work at penetrating the innermost being of Peter. It cut Peter. And I just have to marvel again. One of those things I dwell on all week, and I dwell on it in the message. But just to think, Peter didn't even know. It's not like having cancer, but it's kind of like you have a disease, you don't know it until it shows itself. Peter had a disease, and Jesus did preemptive work to begin the healing before Peter even saw it. That's the better thing. It was not until Peter denied him the third time, Matthew 26:75 says, then after he denied him the third time, I don't know the man, he curses. I don't know if he called him names, but he's like, get away from me, you low, I don't know him. You're bugging me. I'm sure Peter was saying, I don't know the man. He's probably, go! Stop talking about it! I don't want to talk about it no more. I don't know him. Don't know a thing about him. Some weirdo, I don't know. And it's the third time the rooster crows. Matthew 26:75 says, then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. That word had started to heal Peter. It cut him, it wounded him to show who he is, what's going on with him. And he heard it. He heard it after that rooster. He said it the third time, and apparently he's not too conscious struck. It's not until the rooster crowed, he's like, that's me. Oh, and he goes out and he weeps bitterly. The wound revealed the flesh. I saw a sign on Alma Walker, dear pastor's wife. Her husband, she was with him 50 years. He prayed for years and years. He prayed for 42 years. Lord, can't I have just one congregation that's peaceful before I retire? Don was sent in to pastor through the Christian Missionary Alliance, pastor churches that were in trouble. that had fights and fights and fights, and yet somehow those buildings were still holding a congregation. Don was sent in to troubleshoot. Don was no one's friend. Don was hated, but his heart was hurt. Because why, Lord, why am I being sent into this situation? And Alma had a sign that helped me so much. It said, "The only part of me that hurts is that part of me that has not yet died. The only part of me that hurts is that part of me that has not yet died." And Peter's found a part of him has not yet died, and Jesus is going after it. And he goes out and he weeps bitterly. And now, as far as he's concerned, that wound is fatal. That wound has pushed him over the top. As far as he's concerned, he's finished. Until he sees Jesus, remember when they're out on the boat and John says, "It's the Lord, it's the Lord." And Peter's like, "That's it." Boom, he jumps in the water. I don't know if he's swimming or walking or what, but he gets to Jesus quickly, and there's that fire. Fire or hot coals right on the shore. The first thing he sees besides seeing Jesus, he sees the coals, he sees the Lord. And if you remember in that account when he denied the Lord, they were right around the fire of hot coals, and he sees the Lord, and he's warming himself. I love how Doug reminded me a couple weeks ago, Jesus will take us back to the moment, to the point of failure, and start there where you blew it. And I think that's what's happening for Peter. Jesus is not finished with him. He's healing. Peter's hurt, but Jesus is healing him. So I think one of the most important things for us to understand, to get in this, it just stands out, it resonates through this passage, is he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." A threefold confession. "I love you. I love you. I do love you, Lord." At Peter's point of failure, you remember what he said? Threefold denial. "I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man." Jesus brings him to, "I do love you. I do love you, Lord. I do love you." Oh, I think that's beautiful. At Peter's ordination, this fundamental truth had to be established. The most important thing, Peter, in your life is that you love me. And for each and every one of you here today, the single most important thing for you, the question to answer is, do you love the Lord Jesus? The Old Testament goes on. Jesus reiterated, "With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." But notice Jesus didn't say that to Peter. He just asked him, "Do you love him?" And Peter's like, I know Peter's thinking heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says, "I do love you, Lord. You know everything. You know." And I think that's just a beautiful thing. He goes out from his ordination, not in pride, but in humility before the Lord. It's so important that each one of you learn to walk in humility before the Lord, trusting Him with all of your heart. When times are painful and you go through seasons that seem like years and maybe decades of pain and hurt and frustration, that you go knowing the Word of God, knowing that He is not wounding for the sake of watching you bleed, but wounding to bring healing. There has been so much buildup of bad healing that the world brings that the only remedy is the Lord's perfect cutting of your heart. That's the most important thing. Peter doesn't protest his hurt. He could have said, "Lord, you really hurt me. Aren't we being taught in our day and age in Christianity in some circles to be able to say to the Lord, that hurt me, what you did, Lord, that hurt. Not Peter. He had hurt himself enough to know it was not the Lord's doing. I'm not saying that everything that ever happens to you is your fault. Don't misunderstand me there, but I am saying it was immaterial to Peter. Because in this case, the Lord had wounded him. But it was because of Peter's own sin. Jesus knows everything about you, and he loves you. Just as he loved Peter, he didn't write Peter off. He also knows that sometimes you think you know that you've got it all figured out, and you don't. Peter could have said, yeah, I got it figured out. I know what happened. I denied you 3 times. You know, I felt really bad about it, but you know, I know you're forgiving and all that kind of stuff, so I'm really, hey, we're right. We're good, aren't we, Jesus? None of that. He's quiet. Sometimes it's good if we're just quiet before the Lord. We don't have to explain everything that's going on as though we're the expert. It's nice to know, but if you don't know, and even if you do know, you don't have to tell him. You have to remember, his word will bring pain. Sometimes through a person as they teach you, as they shepherd you, as they lead you, as they feed you. Other times, a painful word comes, hopefully as you read the Bible every day and stop long enough to read it and let it soak in. Read it. Brings pain sometimes, conviction of sin. Praise God for that. Oftentimes you'll feel guilty. You know, when you've done something wrong and you feel guilty, that's actually a very good thing. Do you know that? Guilt is something that God made us have the capacity. So that when you are wrong and you're being taught what's wrong, you can say, I know this is wrong. So that when you're taught what is right, you can walk free in what's right. The Word of God will heal you. It'll make you more loving toward the Lord Jesus. It'll teach you to trust Him more. God will speak to you through His Word in such a way that you will be drawn close to Him. He carries His wounded sheep to strengthen them, that they'll be ready to walk. And when you shepherd someone, sometimes you have to remember you will hurt. A good, loving parent will lovingly inflict discipline and pain. And you can take that for what you want. I personally believe when they're little itty bitty, a good smack helps. On the bottom, measured quickly and decisively. That's my belief and it's my experience. But as they get older, you need to be able to talk with them. And the same with your adult friends that you're shepherding or leading. You sometimes have to be very direct and very quick with painful words. But always supplement them. Bring out the truth that will set them free. Oh, the Word of God heals. Jesus cut Peter and he healed them. He was ordaining Peter for the ministry. He had one question concerning the most important point in his life. Do you love me? He only had one responsibility for Peter in his life as a minister, and that was to feed his lambs, feed his sheep. Acts, Peter says, we need to appoint deacons because our work is too big in ministry of the word and prayer and ministry of the word. That's what Paul, he was supposed to do. Oftentimes, I think pastors are caught up in doing every little thing. That's wrong. Pastors are doing, myself included, overstepping our bounds and working outside of the scope of what he called us to do. I do it all the time. One thing Peter feed my sheep. So the single qualification between vertically is, do you love me? And the task horizontally, feed my sheep. So I'm going to say this and we'll close. Most important thing is love for the Lord. I think what we're going to see in Peter's life, love for the Lord is not expressed only through outward, upward bursts of emotion. Some people are less emotional than others. Sometimes we judge someone's by love of the Lord by how high their hands are raised. Jesus asked you. He doesn't ask me, does Dave love me? I don't know. You know, I couldn't say, well, yeah, I know for sure because his hands go up higher than everybody. They don't, but do you love? There they go. But I do know this. You love the Lord. If you love him, you'll care for his lambs. John covered this in the first epistle. If you say you love God and hate your brothers, you're a liar. Feed my lambs. If you love him, you'll feed his sheep. If you feed his sheep by faith for his sake, you'll love him. It's this wonderful circle. Love one another. Jesus enforced that over and over and over. And think about your own life today. Where the word is wounding, let it do its work. Don't cover the wound with something, your own healing, your own efforts. Let the Lord heal you. Go to him. Do business with him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. It is so wonderful. The perfection of it, that it can cut deep into our very soul and wound at that moment and then heal in time. It's just marvelous to us, and we thank you for the wounding and healing of Peter, and we pray that you give us wisdom and willingness to let you wound us and heal us. Lord, strike those parts in our souls right now, in our hearts, our bodies, where we are being resistant and denying the truth about ourselves and resisting the truth about who you are, of your calling upon our lives, of your declaration of our dependence upon you. We pray that you would give us grace today as you gave Peter unexpected and amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.